Last night I mentioned that I have some sermons come to me in dreams, and y'all laughed. You people, horrible. That's not funny. I get sermons the weirdest way. I've always been the strangest guy on getting messages. I was, Brother Christopher McKinley knows, and I was in a church in Gatesville, Texas. I'll give you my scripture in just a minute. I've got lots of time tonight, man. I've got lots of time. I'm in good shape. I was in a little church. I go to this church at least twice a year. Calvary Baptist, Gatesville, Texas. You two young missionaries, write that down, because you're going to go to that church. That's the church you're going to go to. It's one of the most, outside of this church right here, and I don't mean that because I'm right here. Outside of this church, that's the givenest church I've ever seen for the size they are. And you beyond anything imaginable, the size of this church and what you're giving to missions. But I ain't letting you off the hook. We got to increase this year too. Amen. But I go to this church every year, and it's a small building. They have about 70 or 80 on Sunday morning. And they have a United States flag on one side and a Christian flag on the other. And this was when I first started going there. They had an old auditorium that needed to be remodeled. And I was sitting on the front row, and their Christian flag had a cross on it. And it cast a shadow up on the wall, three crosses off that one cross. And I thought, well, that's neat, you know, and that's about all I thought. The next year I went back, they had moved the flags and put a little choir deal over in that corner and moved the Christian flag. And believe it or not, it was in such a position that there were four crosses, shadows, on the wall. And I got to looking at those four crosses. And I was first one to tell the preacher, your flag is unscriptural. It has four crosses, amen. But I got back to my motel room that night, and the Lord just would not let me sleep. I got to thinking about the fourth cross. And God gave me a message. All my messages are simple. You're not going to hear anything new tonight, but I hope it'll challenge you. In Luke chapter 23, we talked about Jesus and Calvary last night. The bridge to Calvary. How it brought man and God back together. And that veil was rent in twain. I want to go back again to Calvary in verse 33 of Luke 23. And these are all very familiar passage, but verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, another passage says there were two thieves, the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And this is the key to this man's salvation right here. We indeed justly, he said, I know I'm a sinner, for we received the due reward of our deeds. I know I'm a sinner, but this man had done nothing amiss. That's his recognition that Jesus was a Savior. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Heavenly Father, this is your book. This is your word. I'm just a messenger tonight. I know, Lord, that there are probably other preachers here in this building do a better job tonight. But you've allowed me to preach, and I thank you for it. And God, I'm not here to impress anyone with my preaching ability, but I want this truth to come across to the hearts of these people, a truth that changed my life, and I pray it'll change theirs. Speak to us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I looked at the three, when I saw these three crosses, I realized that those three crosses that day, Jesus in the middle and the two thieves on each side, really, they represent all of mankind. I mean, You see on those three crosses, those who reject Jesus on one side, those who accept Christ on the other side, and in the middle is Jesus Christ Himself, the Savior. Now that is mankind right there. Amen. There are no third parties. There is no group that's going to purgatory. There's no group. I mean, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell.
That's right.
You've either accepted Christ as your Savior or you have rejected Christ as your Savior. There's no other way. And I've had people come to me in missions conferences. I'm sure Brother Garner's heard this same thing, and Brother McKinley. I've had people come and they were with sincere hearts. They said, "Brother Martin, I'm having a problem understanding why some person over in some jungle or up in some village that's never heard of Jesus, that they die and go to hell. I can't understand that. I just don't believe God would let that happen." Well, you better believe it, because it's the truth. There is no other name but Jesus. That's why we send missionaries. That's the whole purpose. I mean, if there was some other way for them to be saved, why would these missionaries need to go? Why would they need to dedicate their lives to some other country? They do it because there is no other way. There's no one else hanging on that middle cross but Jesus and Jesus alone. I begin to look at those three crosses, and I want to talk to you about them tonight, first of all. In verse 39, one of those thieves, here he is, moments away from death. I mean, I don't know how long, maybe moments, maybe an hour or two, whatever. He's at death's door. He's just an hour or so maybe away from hell, for burning for eternity. And next to him is the Savior. I mean, I don't know how close the crosses were, but I'm sure if they weren't nailed, they might have could have reached over and touched hands. And there he is, railing at Christ. When I look at that, I call that the cross of madness. It is madness to reject Jesus Christ. I mean, it is madness. It is amazing to me, and yet I've seen it in 45 years of preaching. You'll see a lot of things, but we've all seen people one step away from death and yet still reject Jesus Christ. I've stood at the bedside in the hospital and got on my knees and pled with people to be saved. They were about to die and they'd look at me and say, "Not today." That is madness. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the world is full of these people. They're here in Carlsbad, New Mexico, but they're all over the world who think that they can reject Christ and somehow escape judgment. Somehow, I've had them say to me, "Well, you know," one old boy said to me, he said, "Me and God got our own thing worked out. When we get up, when I stand before Him, me and the big man, we've got it all worked out. We've got it figured out." I thought to myself, where's that in the Bible? You and the big man have got it worked out? Man, you're on your way to hell, fella.
Yeah, right.
It is madness to think that you can just go your merry way in life and do what you want to do and still expect to get to heaven. It's a world filled with madness. And I'm telling you, it's getting more wicked every single day. I mean, if we ever needed missionaries, we need them now. If we ever needed churches to get excited about trying to win souls, we need to do it now. Because this world is going crazy. I mean, it's just filled with people that have got it in their mind that no matter what happens, I'm going to get to go to heaven. When my daddy first got saved and surrendered to preach, I was telling Brother Garner, you've heard me say this, we couldn't hardly find Genesis in the Bible. And he loved songs. He loved to sing. My daddy was a singer and my mother too. And when we got singing gospel songs, he didn't care what it was. He loved every one of them. And when I got old enough, I was in a quartet one time and we'd sing songs and I didn't know. Them old guys was telling me what song to sing. I had a voice like a girl. Man, I could hit them high tenor notes back in them days. And them old men would say, boy, you got the best voice. I thought, I'd be glad when I quit sounding like a girl, you know. But we were singing songs and I got to looking one day as I got older and daddy called me up to sing and with somebody and he said, we're going to sing this old song, son. I said, what is it? And the song was this. I don't even remember the words to it, but the gist of the song was, if anyone makes it, Lord, I will. Just as unscriptural as it could be. If works has anything to do with it, surely, Lord, I'll make it. So I said, Daddy, have you ever really looked at the words of these songs? He looked at him and said, we ain't singing that. We just accept these things. The world just accepts that somehow, some way, they're going to be okay. Mm-mm. This man railing at Christ. But thank God there's a man on the other side. I call it the cross of mercy. You talk about mercy. I'm telling you, this is an amazing thing. Here in verse 43, when Jesus tells him, today thou'll be with me in paradise. Now I'm going to tell you, this is the only, somebody says, well, you know, I'm going to wait till I'm just almost dead and then I'm going to trust Christ. Do you know, as far as I know, this is the only deathbed confession in the Bible. Now there is one, thank God, that it can happen, but only one. This man was about to die and he got saved. Don't expect that. Majority of people, when they die today, they die under drugs. You can't even talk to them. Here he is. I mean, he's just amazed that this other man would rail at Jesus. Now, this guy was a thief. He was lost. He was wicked, just like the other thief. But this man, he may not have realized it, but the crucifixion, now hear what I'm going to say so you don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. This man, this thief that asked Jesus, Lord, remember me, this man may not have known it at that time, but his crucifixion was the greatest thing that ever happened in his life.
Yeah, right.
Amen? If he had not been crucified at that exact moment, beside Jesus Christ, he would be in hell tonight burning in a lake of fire. He's still enjoying heaven right now. This is what keeps me preaching. This is what keeps my wife and I giving the faith promise. This is what keeps me going to churches and pleading with people to give that I know are already giving almost as much as they can. And I'm up here still telling you, ask God to let you give a little more. You know why? Because of people just like this thief. His whole life, he spent his life living for himself, stealing, not working, but taking other people's stuff, doing what he wanted to do. But at the moment when he's about to go in hell, Jesus said, I'll give you mercy. Do you realize you're a sinner? You realize I'm the Savior? Today you'll be with me in paradise. That keeps me going. What a joy to meet someone who realizes they're a sinner and that they recognize that Jesus is Lord and they're willing to ask for mercy. You know why we don't see more people saved? We don't ask them. I'm being honest. We just don't ask them. Now, missionaries, and I'm talking, not Brother Garney, he's been on the field 40, he's been on there a long time. I've been having the most fun with these two young guys. Man, we have been cutting up with them, carrying on with them. Me and Brother Garner, we can't do that. We'll throw something out of joint. Amen. But I mean, these young guys are going to go to some places, but they're not. Listen, unless you're willing to open up and ask people, do you know Jesus? You're wasting their money and our time. It's all about telling people about Christ. Because, hey, listen, some does fall on good ground. That's what keeps us going. That's why every year my wife and I, just like you, we pray and ask God. You know what I ask God to do? I ask God to let us increase. I want to increase. If God ever tells me to decrease, I will have a panic attack. Because if He says decrease, that means trouble's coming, I'm in trouble. Amen? But every year God lets us increase a little bit. Sometimes a lot, sometimes a little bit. To me, that's the best news I got all year. That means I'm still going to be preaching. That means I'm still going to get some love offerings. That means God's still going to supply my needs. Some of y'all ought to try that. God, let me increase. Because there are people who really want Jesus. But they just hadn't about to tell them yet. And then the cross in the middle, I want to focus, of course, on Him just a moment. Verse 33, Jesus. The cross of the Master. What a wonderful... Here He is suffering not only physical pain, the most horrible death you could die would be crucifixion, but before they crucified Jesus, they beat Him to a bloody pulp. Isaiah 52 says He couldn't even look at Him and see that He was a man. He was so, face was so beaten and that cat of nine tails and just scourged and this crown of thorns jabbed on His brow. And here He is in all of this physical suffering. And on top of that, Isaiah 53 said He suffered travail of the soul. Yeah. You've heard me talk about this. That means that He who knew no sin became sin for you and me. He that was pure, that never had sin, took the sins of the whole world upon Himself. All this is happening to Jesus on Calvary. All of it's taking place. He's going through all of this. And look what's on His mind. Missions. I can't wait to see Him. And I just can't, my mind can't grasp this. If I was hanging on a cross with nails through my hands and feet and all my bones out of joint, I wouldn't be thinking about nothing but screaming and hollering and pain. But Jesus Christ, He's in the midst of not just physical pain, but the sins of the world on His back, and He still looked over that thief and said, "Yeah, I'll save you." Amen. That's missions. Jesus never lost sight of His mission. He said in Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man has come for one reason. That is to seek and to save that which is lost, even when I'm dying on a cross." Do you think for one moment when Jesus did this in all of that physical and spiritual suffering, and He's still thinking about missions, that we can overemphasize it? I've had some people say to me, "You get too excited about this missions. You're just over..." One of my brothers said to me, what was his word? He said, "You're just obsessed." I said, "You got that right. You got the right word, amen. I am obsessed. I don't make apologies about it either." Because missions... is what the Master was all about. I mean, just go through and read about it. I'm not telling anything new. The first recorded words out of His mouth was about missions. He said to His mother, "I must be about my Father's business." What was His Father's business? "For God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should never perish, but have everlasting life." First recorded word, Jesus said, "Let me get on my mission." His first public announcement about His ministry was about missions. John the Baptist saw Him on the River Jordan and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." That's missions. Amen. The last words He spoke, right here before He died on Calvary, was about missions. Not only to the thief, but to all them people railing at Him, walking by His cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yeah. The last words He spoke, to his early church was about missions. Go ye into all the world. The last words he said before he ascended up into heaven in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 was missions. Everything he talked about was missions. And I'm going to tell you, when he comes back, he's going to look us right in the eye and say, did you do it? The middle cross, if it shows us anything, it shows us the importance of missions. Now, what is this fourth cross? Most of the preachers already figured it out. Nothing deep. It's our cross in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. The fourth cross belongs to us. Jesus, in verse 31, he began to teach them, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed. He's telling them, they're going to kill me. And after 3 days, rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And old brother Peter, you know, you've heard me say, preachers have told me I have his personality. That's not a compliment. Peter, he just jumps up, took him, and began to rebuke him. I mean, rebuking the Lord. But when he turned about and looked on the disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. He was talking to Satan, of course, because Satan was the one causing Peter to do this. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he called the people unto him, when his disciples also, he said unto them, and here it is. He said, I'm going to die on the cross. You can mark it down. They're going to take me and kill me. Now, I'm going to come back after 3 days. He says, now look, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall save it. Now this Sunday, now understand, we're to take up our cross daily. But I have to admit, to me, Faith Promise Sundays is kind of a special day. It kind of kicks things up into a second gear. I mean, it raises the stakes, you might say. It's just a little bit more emphasis about this cross. This Sunday, you're going to get a card. You're going to get an opportunity to prove your love to Jesus. Now, you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again every time I preach here. You don't prove your love to Jesus by how much you give, but by how much you obey what He tells you to give. Now this fourth cross, as I read these verses 34, 35, 36, they involve three things and I'll be finished. And this is why most people won't pick it up. Because this fourth cross, number one, it involves denying yourself. He said you got to be willing to deny yourself. Now this is a difficult thing to do in our day and age. Because we live in a day and age where we don't want to deny ourselves anything. And the truth is, here in America, we have been blessed with so much, very seldom do we have to deny ourselves anything. Amen? I mean, I think last Christmas, my wife and I, 3 years ago, we told you we bought a big RV and we're living in it. It's our home now. And so now at Christmas, we get to go to the kids' house. They have to cook. Mama cooked for years. Let them cook. They're grown. They have to cook. Then we get to eat and say we're sleepy, we're old, and we need to go home and take a nap. So we don't have to do dishes. We don't have to carry trash out. We just do what they did for years. It's payback. But the point I'm making is I walked in where we were having our Christmas, and I'm not knocking my children. Don't miss them. All of my three girls and my son-in-law, all are serving God. Two of them are preachers. They're all serving God faithfully in church. Every service. They're great Christians. But I walked in and I never saw so many gifts. I'm talking about $100 worth of stuff. I'm talking about things that It would have took my daddy 10 years to get the money just to buy that one toy. And them kids are playing with them for about 30 minutes and then just go off and get their little phone again and start making calls and texts. And they've spent all that money. We've just been so got so much abundance that we're used to just having anything we want. Young couples today, we were talking today, Brother Garner and I, we've talked a lot and I have to share a bunch. He shouldn't tell me. But he talked about when his mom and dad got married, they were so young. And Letty was 17 when we got married. And even at 17, she had great wisdom. And she married me. I was 18, amen. And today, kids just getting married, they want in a year what it took 30 years for their parents to work to get. They want it in a year. So when it comes to denying ourselves, it's very difficult. Because a lot of people look at that faith promise card and say, well, Lord, I know you told me to give this, but Lord, I've got some things I want. Well, I'm going to tell you, and you already know this, or you wouldn't be on a Thursday night. Whatever it is you want, it's all going to burn up and be gone someday. And then you're really going to get what you want. Amen? You're really going to see some treasures up in heaven when you give to missions. But you got to learn to say no to the flesh. I'm not listening to the flesh. Because the flesh doesn't want to give. Flesh doesn't want to come to church. That's why we got empty pews. The flesh never wants to do anything spiritual. And giving to missions is a spiritual thing. So this fourth cross, you got to deny yourself. It also involves delivering salvation to the unsaved. Look at verse 35. He said, not only whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's. He said, this is not talking about you. This is talking about the gospel. Getting the gospel out. You go, how can you do it? Pick up that cross. When we carry that fourth cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ gets put out. Look across this room. Look at all these letters. Do you know what that represents? That represents Christians like you who have been holding a cross for a year. And while you're bearing that cross, those missionaries have got their own cross and they're winning souls that you would never see this side of heaven. So it's not only about denying yourself, it's about getting the gospel out, the salvation of Jesus. It's also about declaring the Savior to whoever needs to hear about Him. Verse 38 is one of the most frightening verses to me. It just scares me at times. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation. He could be talking about right now this generation. Amen? He said, if you are ashamed of me and my words, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. I cannot imagine hearing the Lord Jesus say, I'm ashamed of you. I know tonight that this coming Sunday is going to take some sacrifice from so many of you. But let me say this to you. And I tell myself this every time too. I never filled out a faith promise card yet. A little sweat didn't pop on my brow. I preach on faith all the time, but when I get that card in my hand, I say, okay, you preach it, you've got to practice it. Okay, give me a pencil. I know this Sunday, devil's going to be working. And he's going to try to get you to say, wait a minute, you better wait and see what the election does, or you better wait and see what the economy is going to do. And No. What you got to do this Sunday is pick up your cross. Yeah. Jesus was with you last year, wasn't he? Didn't he see you through last year? And the year before that, and the year before that. And I promise he'll see you through this year too. So I pray tonight. I know we got a small audience. But if just this many people would pick up that cross tonight and say, you know what? I'll deny myself if that's what it takes. I'll do my part to get the gospel out, and I don't want Jesus to ever say, I was ashamed of you because you were ashamed of me and my words. Let's stand together tonight for just a few moments as we give an invitation. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, thank you for this privilege of being in your house. It is a joy to see these people out, knowing that I'm going to be preaching on giving. They've come because they love you. And I'm grateful for them being here tonight. And Father, I realize that that there are times that the sacrifice is tough. It's hard. But Lord, oh, it's such a joy. It's worth it all when we read those missionary letters and we hear about all the people being saved and the churches being started and realizing you have a part. And God, all these things that we have down here, they're just temporary stuff. Let's get our eyes on treasures in heaven tonight, Lord. Thank you for being on that middle cross for us. And I pray this altar will be filled with people tonight saying, I'll take the fourth cross, preacher. I'll deny myself and I'll follow him. I'll do what he said. And Father, if there be one here tonight that's never trusted you as Savior, what a night for them to come forward. This would be the perfect night for them to come forward and say yes to Jesus, just like that old thief did on the cross. Lord, I realize you've never sinned, but I'm a sinner. Please come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save me. And I know you'll do that. So tonight we pray this in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.